Okay, good evening. So I was thinking for tonight to talk about the topic in general relating to the topic of tefillah, the parshios, not specifically this week's parsha, but the span of parshios that we're in the middle of, coming from Vayera through Vayetze, is possibly the source for the three daily tefillos, references that the Gemara quotes. In terms of the institution of Shacharis through the efforts of Avram, Mincha by Yitzchak, and Ma'ariv by Yaakov are found in these parshios. And I thought maybe it might be a good opportunity to discuss a little bit the relationship of the three tefillos to each other, which I think is most specifically illustrated through the topic of tefillas tashlumin, the idea of making up one tefillah in the time zone of the other, sugi in the beginning of the fourth parak of Brachos. So I thought maybe we might talk about that topic a little bit tonight, with that aim of illustrating the interrelationship, or lack of same, depending on how we see it, between the three daily tefillos. You may not be expecting this, but tefillas tashlumin is a massive topic about which one could spend many, many, many hours talking about all the ins and outs. We're not going to spend many, many, many hours doing that tonight, nor are we going to make this a multi-week topic. So I thought what we'll do is we'll just kind of highlight some of the major issues. They are probably far more complicated and in many cases far more open and unresolved than we might expect. If any of the points that we touch upon tonight, if you'd like to have more Mar Makomos, be aware of where to look for our much more extensive discussions, please let me know. We'll be happy to point you in the right direction. Really, almost every topic that we'll touch upon, one could spend far more time going into. There's quite a lot written about all the ins and outs of this topic. It's much larger than you might expect. So essentially, just in terms of some of the, first of all, the basic details, so this is the opening sugya in the fourth parak of Brachos. Many learn this in elementary schools. It's a very familiar halachos that Mishnah and the Gemara tell us that even though we generally have three tefillos a day with set time zones, Shacharis in the morning, Machlokas whether the first 4 hours of the day or the first 6 hours of the day, Mincha in the afternoon, again, some debate as to its exact parameters, and Ma'ariv at night, if one misses the tefillah, provided he misses it not the mezid, not intentionally, so then he has the opportunity to make up the tefillah during the next time zone. So if he misses Ma'ariv, for example, so then he can recite two Shmoneh Esreis at Shacharis, and that will make up his missed Ma'ariv. And if he misses Shacharis, he can daven two Shmoneh Esreis at Mincha, and that will make up his missing Shacharis. The Gemara says again that this has to be a circumstance where it was not missed b'mezid. If it was b'mezid, so then apparently there's no remedy. The Gemara says that's begad demuvos la'ichol iskan. That is something which is broken, which is twisted, which cannot be fixed, to quote the pasuk. And the Gemara compares that to missing Kriya Shema. That neither of those work. So that leads to a whole discussion in the Sifrei Halacha as to what does qualify for Teshlumen, what's not called Mezid. So there are those who have a very broad view. The Aruch HaShulchan writes anything other than Mezid Gomer is considered to be eligible for Teshlumen, so leaving a lot of room for different types of ones or bad planning or forgetting or the like. And it happens to be that even the Shulchan Aruch itself writes that even a person who does miss tefillah b'mezid also still has somewhat of a recourse because he can still add another Shmoneh Esrei in the category of Nedava. Nedava is another important sugya which is kind of related a little bit to these sugyas as well. The Gemara in Brachas and Daf Chof Aleph tells us that a person theoretically has the opportunity to volunteer a Shmoneh Esrei at any point. A person could, in theory, say, I not obligated to daven right now. It's not mincha, it's not shacharis, whatever it is, but I want to daven. That's called a tefillas nedava. Maybe I'm very grateful for something that happened. Maybe I'm very concerned about something. So I want to daven, I could do that. Nowadays, we tend not to do it so often. It's machlokis between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, and if it's totally off the table or not. But the reason we tend not to do it is because the Shulchan Aruch says that you need a tremendous amount of kavana in order to justify your tefillas nedava. And the Shulchan Aruch says, if you don't feel you can reach that level of kavana, so then you should worry about the three obligatory tefillas. You shouldn't look to add more. So it's a question whether or not nowadays we do tefillas nedava at all. The consensus seems to be that we do it when we have a suffix situation. Some of the examples we'll probably discuss over the course of tonight's discussion. So nedava is often brought out as a solution to things, but the nedava where somebody just volunteers a tefillah out of nowhere, that is not so generally employed. But the Shulchan Aruch says that you can do a tefillas nedava if you miss the tefillah the mezid. It's a question. Also, the Gemara says that when you do a tefillas nedava, so you have to be mechadesh something. You have to add something. What exactly that means is a little bit of a discussion in the Rishonim. But sometimes, for example, if you're doing it to get out of a safek, so many of the Rishonim understood that that doesn't need a chiddush. That itself is the chiddush. So it's a discussion here as well. If you're doing a tefillas nedava because you missed a tefillah b'mezid, so then that may itself justify it without a chiddush, or others felt it did need some type of a chiddush. Why should that work? So some of the Sekelim and the Shulchan Aruch explain that since you're now trying to fix what you did, then you missed tefillah b'mezid, but now you obviously feel bad about it enough that you want to make it up, so have a lashon that the Taz writes, so it's osa mezid kishogeg. It's now transformed into a shogeg, so now you can have a tashlumin for it. Sounds like it's a reference to the Gemara in Maseches Yuma that says a person who does tshuva meyira, so his averus zidonos or nas and lo kishkagos. I don't know if it's exactly what he means, but it sounds like it's a reference to that. But apparently, you can do tshuva on your mezid and give yourself some type of opportunity to redeem yourself. Others point to the fact that the Gemara compares missing tefillah b'mezid to missing Kriyat Shema. So what's the story if you miss Kriyat Shema? So we'll actually discuss that a little bit later. It's also a more complex discussion. But certainly since Kriyat Shema are psukim, Kriyat Shema is psukim and chumash, so one can always say the psukim of Kriyat Shema. It may or may not count as an obligatory Kriyat Shema, but one always has that option. So too, maybe you have the option at least of reciting a tefillah. We're not sure exactly what it counts as, but it should be dumyut a Kriyat Shema, just like I can say the three paragraphs of Kriyat Shema now. Not clear what status it'll have, but I can do it. So too, you could say the Shemoneh Esrei even in a situation where you're mevatel tefillah b'mezid. Okay, could be. But in any event, so that's the basic principle in the Gemara, that a person who misses tefillah, certainly not b'mezid, at least if it's not b'mezid, so he has the opportunity to make up the tefillah in the next tefillah zone. So one of the dinim that is very important that the Gemara brings about is that when you do these two Shemoneh Esreis, so it's crucial that the first Shemoneh Esrei that you do is the proper Shemoneh Esrei for that time zone. So, for example, if you miss Shacharis, so you daven two Shemoneh Esreis at Mincha. So the first one has to be the Mincha, and the second one is to make up for Shacharis, and not the other way around. And that's actually Le'ikuva. If you get that out of order, so then it's no good. The first Shemoneh Esrei doesn't count for anything. It's not a Tashlumin. So that is based on a Gemara in Brachos in the fourth parak, where the Gemara talks about what happens Motzi Shabbos. So let's say you forget to daven Mincha Shabbos afternoon. So Motzi Shabbos, you have to daven Shemoneh Esrei twice. Now, you actually don't have to say Ata Chanantanu two times, which is interesting, because normally we say that you should do the Shemoneh Esrei of that time twice. So you think, okay, Motzi Shabbos, you say Ata Chanantanu, so you should say two Ata Chanantanu Shemoneh Esreis. So that's pretty clear from the Gemara you don't have to do, because Ata Chanantanu is not really a part of Shemoneh Esrei. Apparently it's Havdalah that's inserted into Shemoneh Esrei. So there's no need to say Atah Chanantanu twice. You only have to say it once. But which Shmoneh Esrei you say it in makes a big difference. The Gemara makes it clear that you have to say it in the first Shmoneh Esrei. And the din that the post can learn from there is that because the first Shmoneh Esrei is your Ma'ariv, and if you were to say it in the second Shmoneh Esrei, essentially you're saying that that was Ma'ariv, and that the first Shmoneh Esrei was a Tashlumin for Mincha, and that doesn't work. So that din about Atachan and Tanu is the source for the rule that you have to have it in that order. Current tefillah first, tashlumin second. But it leaves a little bit of ambiguity. Some of the poskim thought that it's only true or it's only likuva if somehow it's indicated in the way you do it. Somehow the Shmoneh Esrei shows that you think that it's the tashlumin first. So in the case in the Gemara talks about, you're saying atachon etanu in the second one, that shows your intent. The second one should be ma'ariv, not the first one. But maybe if it's a normal situation where, let's say, you're davening two Shmoneh Esreis Mincha time, so two identical Shmoneh Esreis, no way to know which one you think of as which, so some poskim thought, then we don't have Likuva this din, then we're not going to make you go back. Well, others say, yes, even in that situation, still Likuva, because what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with tefillah between you and God, so you both know what you had in mind, so it's not like there's a din Torah where someone's got to prove what's in your mind. This is between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so all the parties relevant know what you had in mind, and therefore if you have the wrong tefillah in mind, that remains a problem. Those poskim who say that it has to actually be clear from your Shmoneh Esrei what you have in mind, so then it's also a discussion, it has to be clear from the Shmoneh Esrei itself or clear from the broader context. So, for example, let's say you forget Shacharis and you're going to say two Shmoneh Esreis at Mincha. So, what if I do it like this? I say Shmoneh Esrei, and then I say Ashrei, and then I say Mincha again. So then it really looks like I intended the first Shmoneh Esrei to be my makeup for Shacharis. And Mincha came afterwards, as indicated by the fact that I said Ashrei only before the second Shmoneh Esrei. So some poskim would consider that to be an indication that I'm doing it backwards, I'm doing it the wrong way. Well, others say, no, even that's not a good enough indication, because the indication has to come from the Shmoneh Esrei itself. Like the Gemara talking about Atachan and Tanu, and the second one, that's inside the Shmoneh Esrei itself. But an external indication, like Ashrei, that wouldn't be meaningful. So that's the whole question in Poskim, that the din is pretty clear that if you switch it around, then that's no good, and it's Ma'akev. The only point of Machlokas is, does it have to be self-evident that you switched it around, or is it enough that you have in your intent that you're switching it around? Sorry.
Would Sim Shalom and Shalom Rav be enough of a distinction?
So when it comes to Sim Shalom and Shalom Rav, so the assumption normally is that if you're davening at Mincha time, let's say, you really should be saying Shalom Rav for both either way. So it's not like the second one that's replacing Shacharis you're saying Sim Shalom for. In general, right, so the what to talk about how significant Sim Shalom and Shalom Rav are, but either way, in practice, you'd be saying Shalom Rav for both if it was Mincha, for example.
The same apply also for Yalav Yavo.
The Yalav Yavo is a huge issue, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, God willing. And that's an issue, one of the examples of a topic that we could easily spend all night on, but we'll just bring it up a little bit and talk about some of the key points that are relevant about that. But God willing, we'll get to that in a few minutes. So again, this din, how exactly it's applied, there is that Nekudas Machlokas about whether it has to be self-evident or not. But it is understood that that's a rule, that it has to first be the Tefillah Chov and then the Tashlumin afterwards. So there's a whole question why that is. And this question draws upon a central question we could be asking about here in general. The relationship between the three Tefillos. Are we to assume that essentially there's one obligation of Tefillah and just Chazal gave us three slots to fill it? Or do we view Shacharis and Mincha and Ma'ariv as separate entities? And therefore, when we translate that to a Tashlumin question, so is it that Tashlumin is possible because we're really just trying to keep our three tefillos a day number, or our three tefillos a day average? So ideally we'll do it in the set times, but in theory it could be shifted to another time as well. Or is that not the case, that each tefillah is its own concept, and when we make up two Shmoneh Esreis at Mincha, for example, we're replacing Shacharis. Shacharis is being made up at Mincha time. So the relationship between these two different chiyuvim affects this question here. Why is it that we care so much if you mess up the order? So Lavush says, for example, that, well, the tefillah that is due at this time is considered to be tadir, and therefore imposes the rule of tadir v'she'eino tadir tadir kodim. So we should do that tefillah first because of the rule of tadirus. So the Taz didn't like that, because the Taz says that tadir v'she'eino tadir tadir kodim, that's never li'kuva, that's always a l'chachila rule. That's never something which after the fact would disqualify your mitzvah. So he says you have to say that it's a little more than that, that it's a mitzvah b'shaita, has a special status, and that if you're going to, as the Aruch HaShulchan builds on this, that if you're going to say in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, okay, I have to daven right now, but I'm going to neglect the tefillah that is my chiyuv right now, and instead do a voluntary makeup tefillah. So there's a chutzpah involved there. That's something that is essentially disrespectful to God, and that's not appropriate. That's the way the Taz seems to indicate. The Aruch HaShulchan takes further, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu Rav has once again a creative approach, where he essentially says, based on a Maharal, that the only reason you can daven is because it is a time of tefillah, which others talk about as well, but it's a whole interesting question that, you know, normally, this will come up in other contexts in a few minutes, that in a certain sense we do need a heter for tefillah. You know, that there are certain aspects of tefillah that are not so obviously mutter without there being a heter, the idea of approaching a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the idea of praising God, which the Gemara says we wouldn't be able to do if it were not for the fact that we were given set parameters of what we can say and what we can't say. So in order to be able to do the Tashlumin, we need to first establish this time as a time of tefillah. So therefore we have to first do the tefillah schov, which brings that status in, and then we can do the Tashlumin afterwards. So these two issues, they reflect these two, let's say these two different, broadly drawn, two different explanations, reflect the fact that we're talking about different obligations. Shacharis is an obligation, and Mincha is an obligation, and therefore in the afternoon, in Mincha time, Mincha is the key obligation, and Shacharis is, relatively speaking, optional. Or is it really that there's one big sweeping obligation of tefillah, and we need that obligation to be activated, and once we do that, then we could put even more than one tefillah in that zone. The Rebbe Ephraim has a tshuva where he talks about, let's say, for example, you miss Shacharis, and now it's Mincha time, but it's the very end of Mincha time, so you only have time for one Shmoneh Esrei. So we still say that Shacharis comes first. So we should still say that Mincha comes first, excuse me, now that it's Mincha time, that Mincha comes first. But that means you're going to lose your Tashlumin for Shacharis completely, because we assume you can't cross into a two time zones away. You can't make up Shacharis Ma'ariv time. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Or do we say that no, that we would only tell you to do Mincha first if it means you could still do the Tashlumin for Shacharis. But now it means you're going to lose Shacharis completely. Maybe we should say, make up your Shacharis, then you'll make up Mincha at Ma'ariv time. So that question draws upon just how significant this whole issue of doing the right one first is, and how absolute it is, and that's a part of his discussion in analyzing that issue. So that's this issue itself, the issue that we just mentioned of not going two time zones. So the truth is, that's how we assume la'halacha. La'halacha, we assume that if you miss one tefillah, you can make it up the next time, but you can't make it up two times later. Not all the Rishonim agreed with this. And it's interesting, the Bahag, for example, the Bahag is quoted by the Tur as having two points of interest related to this. The Taz says if you forget Ma'ariv, or you miss Ma'ariv, so you can make it up at Shacharis, and if you miss Ma'ariv and Shacharis, you can make them both up at Mincha. You can say three Shmoneh Esreis of Mincha. However, you can't cross that into another time zone. Into another day, excuse me. So Mincha goes into Ma'ariv, so then you can't move that into the next day because it's already a new day. So the Bahag's view, which is not the view that we follow, that seems to be an idea that really there's a three tefillos per day idea, and ideally you'll have them at the right slots, but in theory you could pack them into even one zone. And that's apparently his view, that you could have all three tefillos at one time, but you can't move into the next day because it's about having three tefillos a day. And there were other views in Rishonim which went further than that. The Meiri quotes a view, the Rabbeinu Simcha, that you could even make up many more tefillos. A person is locked in jail or is sick, and he misses a whole bunch of tefillos, and he has to make them all up. Interesting implication. Person, let's say, becomes a Baal Tshuva later in life. How far would you take this? Don't know. I think definitely a situation where Takanas HaShavim would come into play. Otherwise, it would definitely be discouraging Baal Tshuva. But again, in any event, that's not how we assume. We assume that it's one tefillah per zone, but we can also cross from one day to the next. So if you miss Mincha, you can make up two at Ma'ariv. Sorry.
So how does the Baha'i say understand if you miss Mincha, you have two Ma'ariv?
Right, so that's a good question. So presumably he has a little bit of both, you know, because the Gemara pretty much says that b'feir, so he has to do something with that. So it's just his extension of going back for two tefillos only goes into one day. Why Mincha can go into Ma'ariv, you'll have to explain a little bit differently. So why is it taka that we assume that you can't miss more than one tefillah, you can't make up more than one tefillah? So the Prima Gaudin seems to say that it becomes that once you miss one, we could call that an onus. You missed two already, that sounds like amazing. So others didn't accept that logic because maybe for Shikha, if it's talking about forgetting, so okay, we'll give you one freebie in terms of forgetting, but once you forget twice already, that's already considered irresponsible. Some of this farm point out, there's a model for this in Erev Tavshilin. You can forget once, you can't forget twice. But it's a difficult explanation because it's not the only kind of onus that you have. There are other types of things that can get in the way of your being able to daven bizman, and sometimes those things will span a number of zones. And also we should say that if it becomes mazid, then somebody points out, so if I forget, let's say I miss Ma'ariv and Shacharis. So we all assume that you can't make up Ma'ariv and Mincha, but you can still make up Shacharis and Mincha. But that's the second one, so that should be already amazing. So why are we letting you make up the Shacharis and Mincha? So there's some issues with that explanation. So it's a question why that whole story is. But some suggest that really it's only the previous tefillah you can make up because that's the one that's perceived as being samach to this tefillah. That apparently, again, similar to the Kajgolov's explanation, that the Tashlumin has to ride on the coattails of the current chiyuv, and there's only room for one tefillah in that zone. Which is also interesting, there is a position of the Rashba, an important issue, halacha l'maisa, and there's an extensive literature about this, about whether or not we follow this. Shulchan Aruch does seem to have sympathy towards this view, that you can only make up a tefillah samach to the tefillah that you are davening now. So if you forget Shacharis and you daven Mincha at 2:30 in the Beis Medrash, so you can say two Shmon Esreis then. But you can't, according to the Rashba, you can't daven 2:30 Mincha and then at 5 o'clock make up your Shacharis. So again, whether or not that's accepted, the Halacha L'maaseh is an extensive literature about it. I'll be happy to point you at things to look at. But that seems to also support the idea that the Tashlumin only comes in together with another tefillah. It's not just that you can fill it in the next zone, but it becomes mutter because there's another tefillah going on, and that's what justifies it. Presumably, this is still consistent. There are some who maintain that when you do two Shmon Esreis in a row, so some understand that you just do two Shmon Esreis in a row. Others feel that there should be, let's say, an Ashrei in between, something like that. But that presumably is still consistent with the Rashba. It's still in close proximity. Rashba just means if you've completely finished davening and you've gone about your business and then to throw in a tashlumin later, that's presumably what he's talking about. There is a, in terms of this question of whether we're making up the previous tefillah or whether we're just keeping the number of tefillos in order. So it's interesting, Rishonim pretty much agree that Musaf is not a part of the Tashlumin cycle. That you don't make up a missed Shacharis at Musaf, and you don't make up a missed Musaf anywhere else. That it's not a part of the whole Tashlumin family. So there's many different reasons given in the Rishonim why that is. There's wide consensus that that's the case, pretty much. I think maybe the Meiri quotes an opinion not that way, but most of the Rishonim do seem to agree with that. They have different opinions why. That something that is Me'ein HaMa'orah, something that is connected to a certain event like Yontif, is not a part of the story. Or because you have to talk about the Korbanos, and the Korbanos have already, the Zman already finished. But these Rishonim, the different explanations they give, which all invoke something special about Musaf, seems to suggest that the purpose of Tashlumin is to make up specifically that tefillah that you missed. And therefore, once you're already not capable of doing that for any unique qualities that that tefillah has, then maybe the Tashlumin shouldn't work. Paralleling this, there's a discussion that was shown also about whether there's Tashlumin for Ne'ilah, which seems to draw on a lot of similar ideas, but some later Acharonim suggest maybe you could see Ne'ilah as kind of opposite of Musaf, because Musaf is really about Karbanos, and Tfilos, as the Gemara seems to support in various places, Tfilos actually have two major elements to them, one Kineged HaKarbanos, and invoking of Rachmanas. So it's the Rachmanas element which is more flexible and less time-bound, and that which you can come back to later and add on to and do at different times. And Karbanos are more set in certain time zones. So Musaf is really more Korban bound, while Ne'ilah is really the opposite. Ne'ilah is more Rachmanis bound, and evident of the extra Rachmanis component of Yom Kippur. So one could argue that really Ne'ilah and Musaf should be viewed in opposite ways in terms of how this is this issue is considered. And there are some who maintain like that. Interesting that Rishonim also point out, so as we said before, so you say two Shemona Esrays of whatever Shemona Esray you're doing that time. So what about, so for example, you miss Mincha on Shabbos afternoon. So then Motzi Shabbos, you're saying two Shemona Esrays, so it's a fundamentally different Shemona Esray. Right? It's not just a question of Shalom Rav versus Shalom, but you're saying a 18, 19 Tefillah Shemona Esray as opposed to a 7 Tefillah Shemona Esray. So can we really argue that that's really the same thing? So Tosfos addresses this, and the Ritva addresses it from a different direction. And they both make the point, coming from two different directions, that really Shemona Esrei during the week and Shemona Esrei on Shabbos is essentially the same thing. It's just that the Shemona Esrei on Shabbos should have been 19 brachos long, but Chazal were not matriachas to say all the brachos. So they gave us a break, and they left out a lot of the middle brachos. So that looks different, but essentially it's really the same thing. So it's interesting, this attempt of Tosfos to, and the Ritva coming from that direction, to explain why the Tefillah of Shabbos and the Tefillah of Chol are essentially the same, seems to reflect the idea that maybe we are trying to make up that Tefillah specifically, and then you would have the question, well, aren't they different? So they'll say, no, they're not really different. It is interesting to note that Shabbos is itself a little bit of a question, because Shabbos, the Tfilos are all different as opposed to a weekday when the three Shemona Esrays are essentially the same. So the three Tfilos of Shabbos are different from each other. And there actually is a little bit of an open discussion. Rabbi Avadji Yosef has a long tshuva about whether we should, if you miss, let's say, Shacharis and you're davening two minchas Shabbos afternoon, do you say two Shabbos Minchas, or should you actually say a Shabbos Shacharis is the second one, which is doesn't seem to be the practice, but at least it was enough of a question for Bavadji Yosef to have a discussion about. There is a very major issue, which this is what we alluded to before. That's something we could talk about all night, which we're not going to do, but just an issue to be aware of. So let's say it's Rosh Chodesh, and it's the last day Rosh Chodesh, or it's a one day Rosh Chodesh, whatever it is, tomorrow's not Rosh Chodesh. So at Mincha, you forget Yalav Yavo. So we know that if you omit Yalav Yavo, so the halacha is you have to daven again. But you don't realize that you forgot Yalav Yavo. And then at Ma'ariv time, somebody comes over to you and says, happy day after Rosh Chodesh, and you realize that you didn't say Yalav Yavo at Mincha, so what should you do now? So according to the Rif and the Chachmei Provencia, quoted in Tosfos and Brachos, you should say a second Shemona Esrei. You should make up your Mincha, because your Mincha essentially got knocked out of the game, and therefore you have to say two Shemona Esreis now. And a lot of other Rishonim thought, not that way, a lot of other Rishonim thought that there's no point in saying a second Shmoneh Esrei right now, because the whole issue is that you didn't say Yalav Yalva before. So now it's not Rosh Chodesh anymore. So since you're supposed to say the Shmoneh Esrei is of that time, so you're going to say a Shmoneh Esrei without Yalav Yalva. So what good is that? You already said a Shmoneh Esrei without Yalav Yalva Mincha time. So what's the point in saying a second Shmoneh Esrei that's going to be exactly like the Shmoneh Esrei you said that afternoon? So what's the issue here? So on the one hand, this does seem to touch upon this issue that we've been talking about. Are you keeping your order, keeping your number, your average number of Shmoneh Esreis stable? Or are you specifically making up that tefillah from before? But also, apparently, there's a whole side issue here, which we'll just introduce. What is the consequence of not saying Yalav Yavo? We know that Yalav Yavo, missing it, requires us to daven again. But there are two ways to understand why that is. Right? We could say that on Rosh Chodesh, the Yalav Yavo becomes so crucial that if I don't have it, it's as if I didn't daven at all. That's apparently the view of the Rif and the Chachmei Provancia, that your tefillah was nothing, so you have to daven again later. Or we could say that no, it's not as if you didn't daven at all. Every other day of the month, this is a completely fine Shmoneh Esrei. You can't tell me that just because it's Rosh Chodesh, it's not a Shmoneh Esrei. It totally is a Shmoneh Esrei. It's just that the obligation of saying Yalav Yavo is so important that it justifies you davening again so that you can say it. But if you're not going to say it because it's post-Rosh Chodesh, so then there'd be no point in repeating the Shmoneh Esrei. So that's a major, major issue with a lot of ramifications. And just to touch upon some of the many ramifications, again, we could easily devote the entire night to this topic, but some of the issues are, so if you forget Yalav Yavo in general without going into the next time zone, should you look for a minion in order to repeat Shmoneh Esrei? So you daven the first time with a minion. You realize an hour later you forgot Yalav Yavo. So should you try to catch the next minion? Or should we say, no, you already davened the minion. You just have to say Yalav Yavo. So that can count as that's something you can do later on. Should you daven again? If it's Shacharis, should you daven again with Tefillin on? If it's Shacharis, should you make sure to try to do it within the first 4 hours of the day, which is when we assume Halacha Sof Zman of Shacharis is? What if it's, let's say, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or Shabbos and Yontif, and you have the really klutzy situation where you leave out one of them, so then you daven again, and you leave out the other. Do you have to daven a third time? Do we say that each tefillah doesn't count at all? Or do we say that, no, it's just a question of getting the askaras in, so if you, so far, sachakol, you get them all in, then it doesn't matter, and it's going to count. There's a major issue that comes up. How does Tein Talmud Levracha fit into this? So let's say, for example, after we start saying Tein Talmud Levracha, say Kislev, so Rosh Chodesh Kislev, so then you forget Yalav Yavo, and you daven again, and you forget to tell them what levrach in the second one. So you have to daven a third time. So that was a whole issue. Reb Chaim Brisker is quoted as saying that he thought that Tein Talmud Levracha is a bigger deal than Rosh Chodesh. That everyone would agree that Tein Talmud Levracha, if you leave that out, it's not just that you have to daven again, but the Shmoneh Esrei doesn't count b'chlal. Because that, he says, becomes a part of the Tzuras HaTfilo, while Yalav Yavo is just an addition. And Rav Moshe Sternbuch, in his Atshuva, where he takes great issue with this, he says he doesn't even believe Rav Chaim said it, can't be. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has Atshuva, where he says differently. And he thinks that, no, Tein Talmud Levracha is also an addition, because look, a lot of the year you don't say it, and your Shmoneh Esrei is fine, so you can't tell me that all of a sudden the Shmoneh Esrei fundamentally changes in that way. So that's a big question, and then it gets into a very, very complicated issue. So let's say on a Friday night, so if you really want to get into some heavy purple here, so what happens if, let's say, Friday afternoon, you forget to say Tein Talmud Levracha. So now it's Friday night. So should you daven a second Shmoneh Esrei after your Ma'ariv to make up for your Tein Talmud Levracha? So you have the same issue, at least in theory, except for Chaim's distinction, because you're not going to say Tein Talmud Levracha in either of these Shmoneh Esreis because it's Shabbos. So do we say that your Friday afternoon mincha was nothing, so you should daven twice? Or do we say that no, it's only going to make up 10 talmud levracha, and that's not going to help. Now you want it to get much more complicated. So we don't. This is one of the many issues where we don't really have a clear resolution what the halacha is. So let's say, for example, Monday afternoon Rosh Chodesh, the case we started off with. You forgot Yalav Yavo, Monday night at Ma'ariv, so we have a machlokas whether you should say two Shmon Esreis or not. So what do we do if we have a machlokas? If we don't know what the psak is, so what should we do? So the easy answer would be, okay, Safik Derabbanan Lekulo, so we should make it, we shouldn't say it. Except, as we mentioned earlier tonight, that there's an attitude that even though we could have said Safik Derabbanan Lekulo, since Tefillah Nedava is an option, so we recommend that people volunteer a Tefillah if they're not sure if they're obligated to make up a Tefillah, and they'll have in mind that if they're obligated, there should be a real Tefillah, and if not, it'll be a Nedava. Okay, so that could be a good Eitzah for Friday night. Wait a minute, no it can't, because there are those who maintain that no, ain't Tefillah Nedava b'Shabbos. So that could work maybe during the week, it can't work Friday night. Nope, wait, maybe it could work, because there are those who maintain that no, ain't Tefillah Nedava b'Shabbos isn't really true. Ain't Korban Nedava b'Shabbos. You can't have a voluntary Korban on Shabbos, because that involves a Malacha. So you can't voluntarily take upon a Korban on Shabbos, you can only do that during the week. But a Tefillah Nedava, which is connected to the concept of a Korban Nedava maybe, but it doesn't involve any malacha, so there's no reason why we shouldn't have a Nedava b'Shabbos. So it's a very, very complicated issue. So I would recommend not omitting Ten Talmud Levracha at Mincha on Friday afternoon, because it's very unclear what to do. So just to track again what those various issues were. So on the one hand, it's not clear whether you should repeat it again at night because you're not going to fix the problem. So it's not clear whether we say your mincha is nothing or it's just an issue of fixing the Tein Talmud Mat Levracha, which wouldn't help. So normally we could say Safek Tefila Lekula, except that the Nadava idea is there. But maybe Nadavas don't work on Shabbos, but then maybe they do, because maybe the issue is only Karbana. So there's at least four rounds of back and forth on that. So it's definitely an issue to avoid. Yes, sir?
Can we say that you can pay attention to the Chazan Friday night?
Ah, so then, right, that Tosus brings up that issue, that if you forget Ayazkara, so Friday night we'll talk about it in a second a little bit differently, but in general for Chazaras HaShatz, you can listen to the Shliach Tzibur and Beyotze that way. So that's interesting, as the Chavetzal Sashar and Torah talks about this, because really, if you say a tefillah is nothing, so we don't recommend davening through Chazaras HaShatz, davening by way of Chazaras HaShatz. Right? The Chazaras HaShatz was a takana originally for Misha Eino Baki, somebody who doesn't know how to daven, and they don't have Sidurim, so, and they don't have any other way of davening, so the Shliach Tzibur davens on their behalf. But somebody who knows how to daven, so we don't recommend that you do it through listening to Chazaras HaShatz. So if you want to say that the tefillah is mamish nothing, and you have to daven again, so then this normally isn't a recommended way of davening out of nowhere. So one could infer from there that really that's not the whole story, or that whatever element of tefillah that you're missing is not completely Shmona Esrei, it's not that Shmona Esrei is nothing, and that listening to Chazaras HaShatz can accomplish enough of the Shmona Esrei that you have to make up to fulfill that idea, to fulfill that obligation of davening again. The Rashash has an interesting comment along these lines, that the Rashash says that if somebody misses Mincha, forget the complicated Tein Talmud Levracha story, he misses Mincha completely on a Friday afternoon, and he has to daven twice Friday night, so then the second tefillah, or rather, actually, truth is, it says that any night, without getting into Friday yet, that any night you forget Mincha, you daven two Ma'arivs, so the second tefillah that you daven has a status of a Rishos. That since tefillah's Arvis is a Rishos, and what that means is a whole separate topic, I think we talked about it last year, so refer to that discussion, but whatever it means, we say tefillah's Arvis Rishos, so then that applies also to the Tashlumin that you'll do in that time. Which is a little bit of a chiddush in terms of what it says about the nature of tashlumin. So based on that, so Rav Nosson Gishtetner has a tshuva where he talks about the position of the Gaonim, that the Gaonim say that if somebody misses Mincha Friday afternoon, so Friday night, his second Shmona Esrei he could be yotze through listening to the Shliach Tzibur say Magen Avos. So later Sfarim question this, because there is a view that you can be yotze Shmoneh Esrei Friday night by listening to Magen Avos, but that's because Tfilas Arvus Rishus. So this lesser form of Shmoneh Esrei is enough. But here, you're not trying to daven Meir if you're trying to make up Mincha. So Mincha is not a Rishus, so why should you be able to be Yotze Mincha through the lesser version of Magen Avos? Unless you say like the Rashash, that when you're making it up, so then even the Mincha Tashlumen also has a Rishus status, which is a Chiddush, but that could possibly be what's going on there. Again, there's a lot more to say about that. All these topics, a lot more to say about, but we'll wrap this up soon. So just to mention a few other issues just to be aware of. So another very, very significant and somewhat unresolved issue to throw into the mix is, what's the status of somebody who's osik b'tzorchei tzibur? Let's say somebody gets a hatzalah call, something like that, and misses davening. So the Drisha was of the opinion that it's not that we say that, okay, that's a good enough excuse, we'll let him do a teshlumen. It's more than that. He doesn't have to do a teshlumen, because it's begeder osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah. So he didn't have to daven in the first place. So there isn't anything for him to make up. It's not that it makes the cut of not being mazed. It's all the way on the other side of the fence. There's no obligation to begin with, because osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah, so therefore there's no need to daven tushman esrei as a ma'ariv. And the Taz disagreed, and the Shach got involved, and this was a whole story. Somebody who's Osek B'mitzvah, Osek B'tzorchei Tzibur. So what is their status vis-a-vis Tashlumen? Do we say that everyone would agree that they're not amazed? The only question is, are they obligated in Tashlumen? Or do we say, no, there isn't even a need for Tashlumen, because Osek B'mitzvah Patim B'mitzvah means it's as if there was no tefillah there to begin with. So this is a major, major discussion. Again, anybody who wants to look into this will be happy to occupy you for a long time. There is no clear psak on this issue. On the one hand, the Tshuvas HaChesha V'Eifod, for example, is a Rav in London. So he noted that he found a Rivash that seems to say that you are obligated in Teshulman in these cases. I was discussing this once with Rishi Belovsky, who suggested the opposite direction. He said he thinks the raya is women with children. He says that all women with children miss many, many tefillos when they're taking care of the children. And we don't find that they're constantly doing teshlumen. They're constantly making up all the tefillos that they miss because they're taking care of the kids. So he thought that was a raya from practice, or just that was a policy, that we don't assume that the osik mitzvah is obligated to make it up in the next time zone. So that's, again, another open question. So in theory, the Tfilas Nadava path is there as well, but again, we don't see the mothers doing that either, that they're necessarily making Nadavas to make up for all the Tfilas to make up. And presumably, one could say that the issue with mothers and children is more of a constant one anyway. They're constantly dealing with things, even though you could say they should daven a lot at night because the kids may or may not be asleep. I don't know, but maybe the whole calculus is different because it's not a one-time mitzvah which could be confined to one missed tefillah, but it's a constant situation. So that's a good question, how exactly to look at that. Sorry.
But women's tefillah is different than men's, isn't
it? It's different, but question in practice how different it is. There's a whole debate what exactly they're obligated in, but there are many posts who felt they are obligated in three tefillahs a day. So then missing one in theory should have that rule under other circumstances. Again, a lot more to say, but it's getting late. So I'll just also mention that there is a debate in Shulchan Aruch about whether there is Tashlumen for Kriya Shema. So the Kriya Shema, and we tend to assume you miss it, it's over, but the Shulchan Aruch does quote Yesh Omrim, which the Vilna Gaon discusses, that maybe there should be Tashlumen for Kriya Shema. Again, we alluded to before that it's not a big deal to say Kriya Shema at any time of the day because it's Pesukim, it's always Mutter to say. The only question is, would you be accomplishing anything in terms of saying it again? And that's a question. Some thought that maybe this was tied in to a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban about the two mitzvahs of Kriya Shema, nighttime and daytime. Are those two separate mitzvahs, or are they one mitzvah that is got two expressions. So that does somewhat parallel the issue we've been talking about in terms of tefillah. Is tefillah essentially one mitzvah with three expressions, or is it three separate obligations? So that's something to think about. The Prima Gadam thought the whole issue isn't really negeya, because he thought that the only view that Kriyat Shema would have Tashlumin is if Kriyat Shema is Drabanan, which was an opinion in the Gemara and a very much a minority opinion among some Rishonim, but Lahalacha we assume Kriyat Shema is Daraisa, so he says it doesn't make sense to say it's a mitzvah Daraisa and Chazal instituted a Tashlumin for it. But if Chazal made the whole thing, maybe they made a Tashlumin, but if it's a mitzvah in our Torah, then it's hard to imagine that there's a Tashlumin on the level of Midraban. Okay, so again, so maybe we'll end there. All these topics, is much more to say about it. Any one of these could be an hour discussion. Anybody who wants to be directed to more, please feel free to let me know. But just what topics did we address? So we looked at this basic question of whether the three tefillos represent one unit with three expressions or three separate obligations. And that question is perhaps best reflected through understanding the whole issue of Tashlumin, the idea that you can make up a tefillah in a different zone. We talked a little bit about what it means to say that this is only true if it wasn't bemezid. Then we talked about the requirement that you have to do the chiyuv first and the tashlumin afterwards. We talked about the question of how evident does it have to be that you switch the order in order for it to be li'kuva. And then we talked about different theories about why that is li'kuva and why that didn't exist to begin with. We talked about the view of the Rashba, that the tashlumin has to be together with the chiyuv tefillah and can't be separated in time zone. We talked about our practice that we only make up one tefillah at a time, even though there were other views in Rishonim, including the Bahag, that you can make up a whole day's tefillos at once, but not crossing into another day. And we talked about different suggestions as to why our practice is what it is. We talked about the question of why Musaf is assumed by almost all the Rishonim not to be subject to Tashlumin, and what that reflects about the whole nature of things. We talked about the question of why Rishonim say it's not an issue to cross from Shabbos into Chol in terms of Tashlumin, the fact that the Shemona Esrei's are different, why that's not an issue, the fact that really they're not so different in their essence. We talked about the very, very major discussion about if you forget Yalav Yavo and only remember after it's no longer Rosh Chodesh, Machlokas, whether it's Kedai to say Tushmon Esrei's or not, and how that, in addition to touching upon our issue, also seems to say something about Yalav Yavo, whether missing it means Rishmon Esrei is nothing, or Rishmon Esrei is something, but just you need to daven again in order to say it, and how that affects like 10 other issues. And we talked about how Tein Talmud Levracha fits into that whole story, also a major discussion. And then we talked about the question of Tefillas Arvus Rishus, and if the second tefillah at the Meir of Time also has a Rishus status like the Rashash maintains, and how that affects Friday night. And then we talked about the, yet again, open issue of what's the status of Osik B'Tzorchei Tzibur. Do we say that they are part of the tefillah completely, don't even have to have a Tashlumin, or it's like a good excuse that allows them to have a Tashlumin? And then we mentioned the fact that there's also a discussion, one of the opinions in Shulchan Aruch, that maybe even Kriyat Shema is subject to Tashlumin, and what that reflects either about the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema or about the way Tashlumin might, in theory, operate. Okay, so we will call it for tonight. You should all have a wonderful night. And God willing, next week we'll talk about something else. Do we have a list at all?